Welcome back to Through Imperial Eyes, our first post Book of Boba Fett news show. We're getting back into news here. I'm your host, Brayden Ledbetter.
And I'm... Wait, who's that? That's right, friends. It's me. It's Jackson.
Jackson's sounding crispy.
He sounds different. Crispy.
You've been using like a different lotion or something? Is that why you sound different?
Yeah. I changed my shampoo.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Should do that more often.
Yeah.
Well, Jackson, we're here. We're doing some news, finally. We got a lot to talk about this
week.
Yeah, we
got to catch up.
But speaking of catching up, how have you been since the Book of Boba Fett finale? Emotionally, physically?
Today was the first time I realized that there wasn't going to be more.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, that's disappointing. No, it's been okay. I have stepped my game into the Fallen Star. I'm already halfway through it.
I need to get there. Yeah, I haven't had... I'm pulling a 50-hour week this week for work,
gross.
So I have had no time to do really anything.
I will say it is a fairly quick read.
Yeah.
Each chapter is only, I would say, at most 12 pages.
I noticed they were kind of flying by whenever I was reading. I read
this
first
one
100
is
pages.
Very specifically shorter, I would say.
Okay.
I think the digital version I'm reading, there's only 35 chapters, and I'm already on like 17.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, and just burning through it. But it's been pretty good, pretty enjoyable. I'm interested to see... how the second half is going to go. The big moment of engagement just happened for me. So I'm trying, I'm like stepping into kind of the later half of this book. And then I have my reading list set for the next little while. I'm going to read Midnight Horizon after that.
Yeah.
And then
I plan on doing that too.
I'm going to finish the original Thrawn trilogy, and then I'm going to try and go through all the canon books.
Yeah. Good luck.
I'm going to do Dooku Jedi Lost and Mastered Apprentice back to back.
Okay. Yeah.
And let that kind of be my next phase. But yeah. So I've just been hanging out. I've just been reading, really, has kind of been the only Star Wars content I've been intaking.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty much the same. Just been mostly focusing on work.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I talked about this. I will talk about it again in case I forgot to mention it last time we recorded, but I had a birthday.
Congrats.
Yes.
I don't know if we've talked about
on air. I don't think we talked about this.
I also had a birthday, so I don't know if we've spoken since then too.
So my birthday was February 6th and I got a few goodies, Star Wars goodies. That is.
What'd you get?
So I got a original Star Wars Celebration 1 poster that my fiance found at an estate sale for like $10.
Wow.
I was like, it's like the one with like Anakin. It's the 1999 celebration with like Anakin on the front with like the really cool. And there's also an original Phantom Menace poster. I'm guessing whoever's house this was, they were really getting into Phantom Menace whenever that was coming out. So it's all original from 1999. And she got like, she kind of both like $20. I was like, holy cow.
Wow.
So that's really cool. Gonna get some frames for those and get those up in my office here soon.
Is it this poster with Anakin in front and Maul in the back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's rad. I'm looking this up right now.
It says Star Wars Celebration 1. And I think back then, I think it was like 250 people or something. I want to check my work on that because I think it was like a crazy, like small amount of people. How many people were at Star Wars Celebration 1? Oh, never mind. That's at the... I don't know if that's going to give me the data on the first celebration, but like it looks like the average these days is about 30,000 people.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know about Celebration 1. I don't know if they have the numbers for that, but I know it was like a hilariously small amount of people. If anybody like actually knows the number and can find it faster than we can, hit us up on Twitter and be like, yo, it's this much. And we'll be like, whoa, we were way wrong. Or whoa, we were so right. But yeah, I think that's about it. I had a really, really good eventful birthday last weekend.
Did you talk about your tattoo and talk about your ink
so,
and your work?
I got some ink done. I got a tattoo on my left forearm and it is a kind of an American traditional style twist on a Vulptex from The Last Jedi, those crystal foxes. I'll have to post about it on our one of our pages just because it's still in the healing phase right now. It's a little itchy. It's a little like kind of flaky and scabby, but like it was saturated really well. The artist did a super, super good job. The line work is super crisp. It's going to be lasting a long time. Like it looks great.
Do you just stare at it?
I do a lot. Is that how you were with your Obi-Wan saber?
When it was really itchy, I would just like run my fingers over my hand. Oh, excuse me. I would run my fingers over my arm and kind of scratch it, but I would just stare at it and just every intricate detail. Yeah. I felt that.
It's hard. They get so itchy. If anybody listening is not tatted, so there's a stage in the beginning where it's a little bit sore and like it's like an open wound, right? And you have to wash it frequently and kind of lotion it frequently because they dry up a lot.
Hydrated.
Yeah. And then like maybe like 3 days in, 4 days in, it'll start to like dry up and get really flaky and scabby and kind of gross. And it gets to a point where instead of being sore, it gets itchy and you can't scratch it because you're going to ruin your tattoo if it's fresh and you're scratching at it. So you just kind of have to like softly pet it with a clean hand. Yeah. You don't want to use a dirty hand, clean hand. You just softly pet it and hope the itching goes away soon. That's about all you can do.
Yeah.
I'm planning on getting another one, a couple more on this arm sometime.
It gave me the idea of like, I would like a Star Wars creature as some style. I thought about a Japanese style Rancor.
Hell yeah, dude. Arm,
which I thought that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, it really is a great idea. I thought that was a really cool tattoo. I'm kind of jealous about it, actually. I want something like it.
I kind of... And it is this Vulptex, but there's also kind of a red background for like crate. It's kind of what I wanted. And he knocked it out of the park. But anyway, kind of moving on here, getting out of our personal lives and get into some Star Wars world realm news. That's what we're calling it these days. Jackson, what is our first news story this week?
So booting off, we've got some Obi-Wan content to talk about. Marvel is, we just got the announcement of it, but they also talked about its arrival date. A new Obi-Wan Kenobi comic from Marvel, which will be arriving in May. Marvel, it's going to be a 5-issue series that takes place in the weeks prior to the events of A New Hope. And it will be written by Christopher Cantwell, who... worked on some Doctor Doom work, and the art by Ario Enintito, who did some High Republic work from some of their comics. This suggests that the readers will get a glimpse into the mind of the Jedi Master during the final days of his life. And Obi-Wan also promises some familiar faces for return, some Qui-Gon, some Anakin, and some Clone Wars faces that we may see that we'll talk about, as well as, you know, stuff about like Satine and more of, you know, the deeper intricate pieces of Obi-Wan that we'll see. So I think it's really cool. I think it'll be neat reading this and also watching the show. Mm-hmm. And like, you'll be able to kind of hand in hand it. And I wonder if anything will kind of call back to each other as they're releasing.
That'd be kind of fun if something happens one week in Kenobi and it kind of like references it a little bit in the comic.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I'm not a huge Star Wars comics person. You know me, have never kind of gotten into comics, but I see this as one that I will probably pick up or even just like find somewhere and read it. Because I'm just so interested in Obi-Wan and like his life, because there's like such a big gap of his life we know nothing about. It's so crazy. So I definitely see myself picking this one up.
I really enjoy the like these, I call them one shots, but they did them for the High Republic. They have the Marquee Row one and just little 4 or 5 issue pieces. Mm-hmm. And I like that they're doing it with this. I like that it's not going to be a big line. It's a 5-issue story. You know what that means too, is once it's done, it'll immediately come out for a volume release because they only do 5 to 6 issues per volume. So it'll instantly be in trade paperback that, you know, we can pick up and have the full story, which I'll probably read it then, if not digitally as they come out. But yeah, so super cool. Keep on a lookout for that in your comic shops. Talk to your comic man about when you're going to get the Obi-Wan covers. Did you see the cover artwork for the announcement of it?
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool piece. I love how it looked like an image of Alec Guinness that they just kind of put a filter over rather than it being a straight up drawing of Alec Guinness. That was kind of like my gut reaction to it.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the vibe of artwork from the Obi-Wan, novel, the Legends novel.
Yeah.
Which I don't hate. Like I kind of like that. It's,
right.
You know, it's kind of, you kind of get like the orangey dunes of Tatooine.
Yeah.
Still,
sun-soaked Obi-Wan.
Yeah, man. Well, kind of speaking of Obi-Wan, some major news that I am super, super excited about. We have a release date for Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus, the 6-part, I guess, limited series. We'll be releasing on May 25th. 2022, and this was revealed. They kind of had to speed into this announcement because it was kind of revealed accidentally. So shortly after the comic announcement that we were just talking about, someone tied to Disney Plus kind of let slip that the show set at the midway point between Revenge of the Sith, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I'm reading off of Star Wars News Net's kind of article here. But there was a tweet from someone named Brandon Sangiovanni, who is the Enterprise Program Manager at Disney Plus, and tweeted out this tweet: "Our very own Obi-Wan Kenobi will be saying hello there on Disney Plus May 2022. And then he quickly deleted it the second he sent it out, and enough people saw it to where they took it and ran with it.
Called it,
You know, literally the next day, the Hollywood Reporter shared a newsletter saying that it was a slip up, and May 22 is May 2022 is indeed when the show will be coming out. And then obviously last week we got that cool poster and we got the official release date of May 25th, which is, fun fact, exactly 45 years after the first time we ever met Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is really cool. But kind of looking at this poster here, what do you think about this first teaser poster we got?
I think it's kind of strange how far away he is.
You think so?
Yeah, it's not like...
I think they're doing it on purpose, though. I don't...
No, for sure. And it's not like it's bad. It's a cool poster. I wish there was a little more to it. I do like simplistic posters like that. But he's holding the Skywalker saber in it, which...
Is that confirmed? Or does it just look a lot like the Skywalker saber?
It looks a lot like it, but it's... I would say the Skywalker saber is different enough from his saber that people, I think, wouldn't, you can't really confuse the two, you know? So I would expect people
know why he would just be like roaming the desert holding it, you know, because it seems like he kind of had it locked away.
I think I kind of understand what the plot might be about. What if the Inquisitors take the Skywalker saber? And that's what it's about, is that Obi-Wan knows that it will one day go to Luke, so he has to go get it back.
Yeah.
That was kind of my... theorizing about it. It was like, obviously he's going to have it. It's going to be... I think that's going to be the focus of the show, is that this blade is so significant to things that... like it's going to carry this emotional trauma, and it's really going to kind of break Obi-Wan about... how this is the sword that did so much and took so much. And, you know, he needs to kind of protect it, because in the wrong hands, look what it can do. But in the right hands, also look what it can do. And I think that we'll see kind of Obi-Wan's connection to this blade, or we'll see Obi-Wan's journey emotionally, and then whatever happens in the show and him leaving off planet. And I saw some stuff that they talked about going to a quote unquote water planet, which just definitely confirms we're getting Inquisitoris. What is that place from Fallen Order?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those concept arts, you know, they all look just like that place. I think that that's going to be the show's way of kind of taking us in between and connecting it all together, is that instead of it just being a broken Obi-Wan who has to go do this thing now, it's that it's a broken Obi-Wan who is still following the morals that he chose.
Yeah,
10 years ago.
This would be a really nice way to get him off planet that doesn't kind of break the, oh, but he has to watch Luke thing, because
yeah,
but the, because this lightsaber is kind of integral to the fate of this child he's watching. So like, yeah, if something happens to it, you know, there, I mean, I guess there would be a way for him to like tell him about the Force and like have him build his own saber and train him, whatever. But like, I feel
but
like
that wasn't the point. The significance that wasn't why he kept
it. Yeah. Right. The significance of the sword and, you know, tying it back to it being his, obviously his father's sword, and, you know, kind of letting that be the thing that yeah, brings Luke into this larger world, obviously, of the Jedi, and, you know, yeah, kind of revealing that his father was a Jedi to him. It'd be weird to do that, you know, without gifting him
yeah,
this lightsaber, which, yeah, I think if this is indeed what we're looking at in this poster, I think, and if this is, you know, if the lightsaber does end up being this integral part of the show, I think that could end up being kind of cool. It's kind of Force Awakens-y. That.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lightsaber is kind of so important in The Force Awakens as well. So I think it'd be kind of fun to have this MacGuffin, you know, yeah, throughout the entire show.
Well, and I think too, like, if you look at like A New Hope, and it's like to think that Obi-Wan just kept it in a box all these years, like that's almost more unbelievable than whatever right, we would see in Kenobi. So I could totally see Deborah Chow, you know, wanting to explore that more and kind of, you know, this is a big theme in Star Wars Ronin, is want and your own choice and choosing what you feel is mm-hmm, best for you. And I think we're going to see stuff like that explored in Kenobi, is that what things are Obi-Wan doing, is Obi-Wan doing because he feels he has to, and what are things he's doing because he wants to, you know?
Right. Yeah. And that was, yeah, that was also a big thing in like Book of Boba Fett with Mando and stuff. And speaking of, I think for at least three episodes of this show, it's just going to be Mando and Grogu.
Yeah,
the whole right, time. Yeah, it's just right, going to be like another telling of Mando season 3, I think.
Mando season 4.
Yeah. I think that's what it's going to be. So, looking forward to that, but kind of moving on here. What is the next news story for this week?
So pretty cool in update on some stuff on something we haven't really discussed in a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while.
While talking to Swedish publication, Dagen Naters, about a future guest role on The Simpsons, actor Stellan Skarsgård, who is playing in the Andor show, has revealed his filming schedule in the year ahead when it comes to big budget sci-fi. Here's what he said roughly. We start with Dune Part 2 in July, which awesome. My Dune, love Harkonnen. And then in the autumn, it's time for the second season of Star Wars Andor. Oh, I do not know when we will start broadcasting it. It will take some time. So that does not take too long between season 1 and season 2. So we're getting an Andor season 2. That's pretty fun.
I think they'll probably end up start shooting season 2 before we even start.
See season one.
Yeah. Which is, do you think there is any worry there? Like, ooh, what if it's not received critically? Well,
No, there isn't a worry, because
you think with streaming, it's a different world.
Well, I think in this specific terms, the character at hand has enough of a following that there would be a large viewer count due to fan base. And I think the things that they're going to do with this show are going to subvert our expectations on what I think it's going to be a little harsher than we would let on to be, like harsher than Rogue One as a set. It's gonna be a darker style show, and I think that's how they're going to get its audience, is that it's, I think people are kind of expecting a continuation of Rogue One in sense of style, and if that's the case, cool, that's not what I'm saying. It's more they're going to make its own sense of style with this same familiar character that we have, and that'll be its hook.
Yeah, I think, again, with the speculative release of fall 2022, so let's say we get Andor in 6 months.
Yeah.
And the first season starts airing and the reviews are coming back, or like we watch it and we're like, man, I don't really like this show, dude.
Right.
And then it's just like, and the majority of the buzz is, wow, this show is a little bit of a letdown, but then they're deep in the weeds of season two
of making it,
which means they have already written season two as well.
I bet you they have four seasons planned.
I'm wondering if they're just like it is already pre-planned to tell this story in like X amount of seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if like, you know, season one ends on like this big cliffhanger and we have to wait, you know, because he's talking about in this quote that they don't want to have too big of a gap between season one and season two. So I'm wondering if it'll be like by the end of, probably by, if it starts in, in September, it'll probably end in like November if it's 12 episodes, November, December. So I wonder if that means like spring 2023, we're getting season two, you know?
That'd be rad.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's a lot to speculate about because we literally know nothing about this show except for that little Investors Day.
Yeah.
Like sizzle reel we got. So I mean, we're still kind of in the dark about this show, and like they've shot it all and they're like really far into post-production. We've seen nothing, heard nothing, so it's kind of making me wonder what they got up their sleeve with this one.
I'm excited. The more I kind of see and just kind of think about it, I love the idea of espionage Star Wars. I still am of the notion, give it to original characters, but I'm not going to be upset that like it's Andor. It's nothing like you know, but it's a Rebels thing for me. It's like the reason I like Rebels so much is because it's characters that I don't know before. So I can develop new attachments and keep a sense of mystery about what will happen to them. I know what happens to Cassian Andor.
That's been the biggest critique about even this series existing is like,
why?
Yeah. But where's the stakes?
Yeah.
If we already know his fate, you know?
So I'm kind of hoping that the stakes of the story have to do with like wartime stuff. I think it's going to introduce just like things from the war that we wouldn't necessarily see or heard of before. I don't know exactly what, but
yeah. And I mean, I guess we don't have that same sense of why should I care because I know how he dies with like a lot of other things. Like the first thing I think about is something like the Fantastic Beasts movies with like, you know, they're showing Dumbledore, but we know Dumbledore dies, spoiler, but we're not saying why do I care about Dumbledore, dude, if I know that he dies in 40 years, you know?
Right.
So I'm wondering if like that's just us kind of like, I guess it's because this takes place so recently
too,
before he dies. It's not like it's him as a kid or something.
Well, and you say that, but I think this first season's going to be at least 5 years away from, you know, there is a line in Rogue One, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. What if like the first couple episodes are literally Cassian's like introduction to all of this? And I just kind of literally expect the show to be his entire time in the rebellion, and it's going to end, the show will end on where we first meet him in Rogue One.
I mean this probably will happen, but like I'd like to see some new characters that we kind of, you know, a la K2SO, that we kind of grow this emotional attachment to, and we have to see them getting into all these high stakes moments and like,
what if
they don't make it out of here? I think there could be some potential for some heartbreak if we do see like one of our favorite characters.
Yeah, for sure. I think that'll be kind of the thing of the show, is that this is what Cassian has already gone through to get to what we see in Rogue One. Sure. So it's more just the backstory to understand his character decisions in Rogue One.
Yeah.
and just how we got here, which I think would be cool. Yeah, I think the overall mystery for Andor is going to be him figuring out that they're building the Death Star.
Yeah.
Is that piece by piece we learn more and more that eventually it gets to Rogue One. Which, yeah, I hope it ends right where Rogue One begins with him, because it kind of follows the suite of what Rogue One did with the New Hope, is that you could literally double feature them. And
yeah,
and the story is fully congruent. I just think that'd be a fun homage to it, is that the show leads up literally to the moment.
Like it, it's the guy who like he ends up double crossing in the beginning.
Yeah. And yeah, like, literally like it's like him leaving.
You kind of
for
see
that.
Why he had to do it and that kind of thing. Yeah. I think that'd be fun. Be really fun.
That would be fun.
Moving on here. Next,
yeah, let's keep going.
Next news story. Here we go.
So we got some High Republic talks in this little. I guess, I'm sorry. Are we taking it from me? Did I talk about Andor? I did talk about Andor. You know, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm tripping. No, I'm out here.
Come on, Jackson.
I got excited. I saw High Republic and I was like,
all right, I guess I'll do it. Just,
yeah, please,
just for
no, please.
All right. Okay. Okay. So here we go. Star Wars, The High Republic. We are getting a short story collection, which is releasing in September of this year, just like Andor, hopefully. The fiction collection, bluntly entitled Star Wars Insider Fiction Collection, The High Republic Volume 1, again, is targeting that release, and they haven't revealed really what's going to be in it, and there were no, like, titles of the short stories or, like, any kind of synopsis of any of the stories. But what do you think this collection will entail?
Did you read The Life Day Treasury?
No, I didn't.
It's probably like, I think it's only like 100 pages, and it is literally this, but it's Life Day themed. So I expect this to just kind of be, did you ever read Tales of Beedle and the Bard?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I expect like, it to be just like that.
Fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of like I don't know if this will be necessarily children centered, like on how the Harry Potter Beedle and the Bard was, and how it's kids' tales, but like tales. It's just little stories of things and ancient legends that you hear of beasts and Jedis, and Labitch will be a cool one about like the Sith and shit. Excuse me. And stuff.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm excited.
I think that would be cool. I don't know if it's something that I would like be rushing out to want to read.
No, for sure. I agree with that.
I think that would be cool, but I think another thing that would be cool is if it is something that kind of furthers the story of the High Republic that we kind of know, would be fun. But other than that, I mean, since we know so little about it, I can't really say much about it other than hope it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know? So
I trust him.
All right. What's next?
So up next, a mystery Star Wars production is reportedly filming in June. The latest Production Weekly blog post has provided updates for certain Star Wars projects. Should the report be accurate, then the Ahsoka Limited series begins filming in April. The first series season of The Acolyte films from May to November, and the second season of Andor begins filming in the fall. But what's garnering the most attention in the presence of a new project, given the codename Grammar Rodeo, which is explicitly listed as being a Star Wars project? At this time, details are extremely scarce, and it's not clear if this is going to be a television show or a movie. While Production Weekly has had a hit or miss record when it comes to Star Wars reporting, and is not necessarily the most reliable source of information regarding new productions, Bespin Bulletin has indicated that there could be truth to the reporting, and Bespin Bulletin gets it right every once in a while. They do a good job.
We've reported on some of their stuff, and they've typically got some good stuff. They're pretty trustworthy. So,
Grammar Rodeo. What do you
Grammar
think that
Rodeo.
Means?
Grammar Rodeo. That's the Cad Bane film. I don't know. I don't know, man. That's kind of a. I mean, there's really no saying about these kind of codename production titles, because I think The Last Jedi was codenamed like Space Panda or something, like Space Bear or something weird like that. So like they're usually just like inside jokes with like the crew. Like they're never really like anything that means anything with the film. But what do you think? Come on, you can say it.
A Cobb Vanth show.
Cobb Vanth show.
So I've been reading some things about the finale of Book of Boba Fett and the post-credits scene and like the little conversation, people think that the crew Boba Fett built at the end of his show, he's going to go off and do adventures with, and he's leaving Tatooine and Mos Espa to Cobb Vanth. I almost wonder if this could be that, is that they start a Cobb Vanth show and it's him on Tatooine. Grammar Rodeo. I don't know. Rodeo leads me to believe of like a mass gathering. I almost think like the fighting pits Kersantan was in, or like a race, or like, you know, some kind of like.
The thing is, you really can't think too far into it because a lot of these production code names like really mean nothing. Really, like they just, really yeah, do just right. mean nothing.
What was Book of Boba Fett's called? It was something like,
I don't remember.
I don't remember. It had a weird name.
I remember it being something like weird. But what I'm thinking is around this June is about the time Rogue Squadron was supposed to be filming. I wonder if they had something that was on the back burner that they kind of rushed into production because they kind of had to, because they want to have a release by 2023. And I wonder if they're just throwing in like a movie to release by 2023. Cause I think that's their goal right now, is to get a movie released at least by next year.
Hot take. I just had an idea. What if it's Lando? What if it's Lando?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that.
I would not hate that.
I feel like there'd be a lot more buzz around like if it's June, I feel like there'd be a lot more buzz around like castings and like, you know, kind yeah, of that, a little more publicity true. Around that than just
and maybe that's
secretly throwing it in there.
Maybe what you said is kind of the reason why they're throwing it in last minute, is that they needed something, so they thought big, so they're going with Lando, and maybe while they film it, like they kind of announce more and more, as you know, they do all of the stuff and promotion of it now while it's technically filming, but it's kind of like they won't really address it that this is Lando until it's done, you know?
Yeah, I wonder, because I don't think they really announced any kind of target release or anything for Lando. No. They kind of just said, here's a thing, it's in development it's here. Now. Yeah, they basically said, here's a thing, it's in development now, and that's it. So, yeah, I don't know, dude. What if it's the Rian Johnson trilogy getting back into going?
Yeah, literally.
But no, he's working on Knives Out. He's got two more movies, or one more Knives Out to make still for Netflix, so... Yeah.
Oh no.
There's a lot to speculate about, and I'm wondering if we'll get any fun kind of production news and leaks about this thing in the summer. Because
yeah,
I think that it would be kind of fun to like try to piece together what we're looking at.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
of these, some of this behind the scenes stuff. But up next rodeo. Here,
that's gonna eat at me.
Yeah, you're gonna be thinking about that for the next year.
Like 4 a.m. you're gonna get a text from me.
But again, we have an Ahsoka casting here. The Hollywood Reporter has confirmed that Vikings actor Ray Stevenson will be taking part in the Rosario Dawson-led Ahsoka, which will begin filming in April. I think this is no surprise. We're getting a little more of these casting announcements now that we're gearing into production here in a couple months. But at the time, it's not fully clear what his role will be, although insiders suggest that he is playing a villainous admiral of some kind, and not just Thrawn, because it's... I think we're going to be getting Lars Mikkelsen as Thrawn. That's just my hunch. But he's... I think that the talk is that he's going to be some kind of First Order or Imperial Admiral. What's kind of your take on this casting? Do you know what else Ray Stevenson is in?
So he's Gar Saxon. He plays Gar Saxon in Clone Wars and Rebels.
Okay.
Which do you remember who that is?
I'm trying to think as you're speaking.
He is the leader of the Imperial Mandalorians. He was the dude who was the Emperor's hand, and he wore the red and white Mandalorian armor.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember him now.
But Gar Saxton dies. So I don't know if he's going to be maybe reprising his role in flashbacks or if he's going to be playing someone else. And it's just kind of like a fun little homage that he's involved with this story that, you know, involves the same characters that Gar Saxton was involved with. But I saw theories that say he might be playing Pelion, Captain Pelion, and maybe turning Pelion into an admiral who is Thrawn's right hand man in the Legends books. But
I don't know if he has the look of Captain Pelion, though. Because
Pelion's supposed to be older.
He's like in his 70s and like has a white. I mean, he could totally pull it off if he really had to.
Yeah. But yeah, Pelion looks like Yularen. That's who Pelion's supposed to look like. So I don't know. I could see if him playing like reprising Gar Saxton and it's you know, met flashbacks, or maybe Gar Saxon's still alive and we just learn through this show.
Being a new admiral character.
Some new guy. Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
I don't unless I'm totally wrong, but I think they're trying to get a lot of these new characters in that we haven't seen before. That way that's kind of keeps Star Wars a little fresh and like expands the universe instead of making it smaller. I mean, I don't think it's making it smaller by adding familiar characters and things. But I just think it makes the lore a little more rich.
It stands still if it's just people we already know.
Sure. Yeah. But I think this is cool. I think we're going to be seeing some set photos, I'm sure, because as soon as you announce the month of production starting, and especially if they're shooting on location for anything at all, you're going to be getting some behind the scenes set photos like we did for Andor, like we did for Obi-Wan. I don't think anybody ended up getting anything on Book of Boba Fett, only because I think they shot like 90% of it on the volume. But
I don't know.
You know, I think I'm excited to start getting this Ahsoka production news here in the next couple of months. But moving on to our last story here, what do we got?
I've been excited for this one. So our first wave of Phase 2 titles were revealed the other day for Phase 2 of the High Republic. Del Rey is going to be publishing its first adult novel in the phase, which will be titled Convergence, which is going to be written by one of our new High Republic authors, Zoraida Cordova. And then we'll be getting a junior novel from George Mann, who is our other new author. He'll be writing Quest for the Hidden City. And there are no release dates on either. We're also getting an art of the High Republic. We're getting an art book of Phase 1.
Heck yeah.
I know. I'm very excited for that. No release dates. Marvel's relaunching its flagship High Republic series in October, so we'll be getting more comics. And it's pretty much speculated that Convergence will release around that same time, October, September-ish, which is what we heard for Phase 2, is that it will be starting in the fall of this means, year. This
that means I've got year. Like 6 months to catch up on all of Phase 1.
That'll be easy. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Claudia Gray will be writing Quest of the Jedi, a Dark Horse comic, which will also happens to be what the entirety of Phase 2 is called, is Quest of the Jedi. So what do you think about these titles, specifically the books? We'll talk about the books.
So one thing I did want to kind of ask you about is they seem to be using this word quest a lot. And like the Quest of the Jedi, Quest for the Hidden City. What do you think is the kind of meaning behind using this word specifically in Phase 2?
So I think since we're jumping back 150 years, right? 150? We're jumping back more. I think we're going to be seeing the great hyperspace rush and kind of this this frontier style, like backwoods era. And I think the quests are going to be essentially the Jedi's. I kind of expect it to essentially the main kind of setting is the hyperspace rush. So while it's the Outer Rim, it's going to be like Uncharted, you know, it's going to be what the unknown regions are considered now. And I think Outer Rim and Mid Rim, that kind of left side of the galaxy, will be more explored. And I think the Jedi, something story-wise is going to involve the Jedi's in kind of having to go out into that. And essentially their quest is to, you know, maybe it's some kind of issue that it comes up, and it's something, I picture it that essentially there's something that needs to be done that forces them to have to go out into the Outer Rim. That's essentially just uncharted. You wouldn't be able to, it's not like it is now where it's the Republic's getting to each world one at a time and bringing it into it. It's that these people are going to be discovering these planets and understanding they're there. And I think the Jedi are going to take it upon themselves to lead that quest, to, you know, follow us. We will protect you in this great hyperspace rush, but let us do it. And Quest for the Hidden City is kind of my main use of that, is that like it's a hidden, is that it's the sense of adventure. I kind of picture it like Uncharted and Indiana Jones, but it's going to be the Jedi's doing it, you know.
Yeah,
these new characters are sent out to the middle of nowhere in this, you know, unknown part of the galaxy, when their only source of anything back home is going to be Coruscant. You know, it's not going to be, there's no Starlight Beacon right around the corner that can protect them and save them and have Jedi at the rally. So it's going to be a lot more of a, I don't want to say rustic, but like a just older sense. I literally think this is going to be what like a Wild Wild West style. This is what they consider the Wild West. This era is the hyperspace rush. Is it's this older, you know, it was just an older time, but it was like at the time of it, it was also an advancement of themselves and humanity.
How do you think like the Jedi just as a whole will be compared to the High Republic we know now?
Like, how will it be different, or
just like the Jedi Order, and kind of like, how do you think the kind of ideals of the Jedi will be compared to now? Like, do you think there's going to be much of a change, or do you think it's going to kind of be, so we've done this for thousands of years?
I think at this point, the Jedi and the Republic won't be necessarily together. I kind of picture it as that the Jedi will still be functioning as their own independent order rather than like a team up with the Republic. So I almost kind of see the Republic being a sense of an antagonist in this phase, is that they're trying to do things and control the Jedi, but the Jedi are trying to expand and go, and, you know, they want to reach out to this Outer Rim and, you know, go on this quest about it. I don't really know. It's just that those are very base speculations. I'm hoping finishing Final Fallen Star will give me some insight about it. I there are moments I've been noticing since kind of understanding that phase two will take back a farther, is like, no spoilers, but there's a scene where Leox Gyzi's playing with an old, like, it's like a star map reader, and it's literally a wooden box that he's like fumbling with, and he ends up putting it down as like a joke, but there's a moment where he explains what it is and how they used it, and I just think that is like important, like that's like gonna kind come of
setting
back
it up for,
like, that's the era we're kind of understanding ourselves in, is that it's not gonna be high tech and computers, it's gonna be people literally with boxes staring out at the stars and be like, let's go to that one next.
Dude, I love the idea that you had though of it kind of being like this Jedi melded with like an Uncharted, you know, Indiana Jones kind of going to these, like, you know, the quest for the hidden city. So like they're kind of, you know, these explorers and adventurers more than you know, keepers of the peace. Yeah, strictly, you know,
I agree. And that's, I think, what the era will be focused on is because so I kind of expect each era to point out a specific flaw individually. You know, like this first phase, we really learned a lot about kind of the casualness of the how emotional Jedis are. Jedi struggling to deal with loss and love and just their inner selves that they try so hard, you know, to understand that this is, we're Jedi, we don't feel these things. And it's like, no, but I'll tell you this, in Fallen Star, like 90% of the characters are going through some business that they keep trying to kind of convince themselves of. And, you know, that's the flaw of it. So I think we will see another flaw in this phase two that will then kind of expand throughout. It's what is going to be the downfall. And eventually, I think when we're done with the High Republic, it's going to literally be a piece by piece of why the Jedi Order fell. Is that it's phase one is the emotion. Phase two is, you know, whatever. Phase three is whatever. And then...
Yeah, because phase three is... what is it?
Trials of the Jedi. Yeah.
So that already sounds dark.
Yeah. I think it's literally going to, if we go back farther or if we go forward again, I don't know, but I think it's going to eventually lead to where when you see like Revenge of the Sith and the fall of the Jedi Order, you almost look at it and be like, how is it not as so obvious? You know? Yeah. Like it's going to make that hit harder.
Yeah. It'd be cool if, you know, in like a phase three, maybe they do jump forward and it's a lot closer to prequel era.
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
And we get like a Plagueis. We get like a, you know, we see like the kind of roots being planted of Palpatine and that kind of thing. And like, that is kind of like the overall, like, you know, I think that'd be a really nice wrap up to like, you can look at the prequels and be like, oh, this is how the Jedi got here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
So I think that is like my dream is for us to get like that little like 50 to 100 year period before the Phantom Menace would be super cool.
I really dig it. I am excited for phase two a lot. I love the idea of going even farther back because I didn't think we could. And all of phase one, we have been learning about the hyperspace rush and just like what everything has kind of meant to leading up to this. So I think going back even more is going to give us just so much information about just the galaxy and the state of everything. And I want to see like the beginnings of like the Republic Senate, like maybe this is when the Senate's officially formed and it's kind of like we learn, maybe this is the first time the Republic decides to have a chancellor. It's like this style of, you know, they are trying out new politics. And at the same time, the Jedis are kind of doing their own, you know, little victory thing.
Or like, you know, for some reason, the Republic ends up giving the Jedi a reason to need to be involved.
Yeah.
You know, something happens and the Jedi are like, nope, we can't stand by and deal with this.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. And I would like to see them butt heads in that sense.
Love
and to fight about it.
Dude, we should just write phase two. Yeah, what are we doing?
You know, Kevin Scott, hit us up.
Hit us up, dude.
We'd be out here.
That's right.
But yeah, so that's all I got.
Well, cool. Super exciting things ahead for the High Republic, I'm sure. But I think that just about does it for this week's news episode. Kind of catching up on some previous week stuff, and we'll be back with some actual fresh Star Wars news here next week, I'm sure. But until then, you can always find us on our socials at Instagram at through Imperialized Pod, Twitter at Imperialized Pod, and of course YouTube through Imperialized Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you? Come on, you can say it. I know you can do it.
I just love this microphone. Just getting real close. And just
you got your ASMR
lips against it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
pop filter.
That lotion, dude. Like,
that hurts. Hurts your ears. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at QuassonScaling. That's QUACKSON. Scaling like the triangle. Then you can follow my photography Instagram, which is at @daleen_photography. It's DALEEN_photography. Braden, what about you? What are your socials?
As always, you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter and on Twitter at Bradathlon. And see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing over there on Letterboxd at B Ledbetter, and see what I'm up to in the video world over at Vet19 on YouTube. And please do not be shy. Head over to our Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, whatever you got, leave us that rating, leave that review. It really helps out the show and lets us know that you like what we're doing or dislike what we're doing. And make sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you can. Until then, we'll be back next week talking more Star Wars news. Hopefully we'll get a Kenobi trailer sometime.
Maybe.
Ever. I sat through an entire football game expecting a Kenobi trailer, and we didn't get it. So
I didn't expect it. I didn't watch the game. I knew that if it came out, my phone would have told me, and I never saw it, so I went on about my business.
I wanted to be like the first person to witness it, but...
Yeah, I was waiting for you to like send me it all and be like, it's here.
You would have been the first person I messaged as soon as I saw it, but... All right. We'll get out of here. Until next week, may the Force be with you.